I don't learn and practice to live by Christ. And you don't learn an exercise to live by Christ, it's impossible for you and I to be one. We can be one outwardly, okay, I agree with you. Or even I disagree with you, but okay, for oneness sake, I'll go along with you. Even just to say that word, for oneness sake, that is not oneness. The Lord was praying. So, can you imagine the Lord living such a life on this earth, doing everything that is well-pleasing to the Father? He said, Father, I know that you answer my prayer, because I always do the things that are well-pleasing to you. What a wonderful harmony. That's why the Lord can say, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And in John chapter 10, he says, I and my Father are one. And in chapter 14, Philip says, Lord, you talk so much about the Father, show us the Father. The Lord says, well, I've been with you for so long, you don't know me. If I were Philip, I would say, of course I know you, but I want to know the Father. The Lord Jesus says, he who sees me, he sees the Father. If you don't believe me, at least believe the work that I've done. It is the Father doing all the work in me. So many verses, especially in the Gospel of John, shows us this marvelous oneness between the Lord and the Father. And this is one of the most mysterious, I would say, truth in the Bible, is that we were brought into this kind of oneness. So in John chapter 14, a couple of chapters before, the Lord says, in that day, you will know that I am in the Father. And the Father is in me. And I am in you. And you are in me. So, what a wonderful mutual dwelling.
Right.
And this is through the Holy Spirit, the wonderful Spirit of the Lord, coming into us. And that is why Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And if you live Christ, and I live Christ, and Christ is in you, and the Lord, and Paul says, our life is hidden with Christ in God. And God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, dwells in us. And I'm in him, and he's in me, and we are in the Father, and the Father is in us. Can you imagine if we experience such a wonderful mutual dwelling with him? That will produce a oneness. Any kind of a oneness will fall apart. That's why it's always quarreling and dividing. In the whole of Christianity in the last 2,000 years. Just to see the doctrine of oneness cannot make us one. Look at United Nations. It's called United Nations. Well, I think we should change it to ununited. They're never united. Right. It's always fighting, always arguing. They were never, ever united. Men just cannot unite. Even religion cannot unite. There are so many religions on this earth today. Even among us Christians, there's no oneness. Why is it? Because the real oneness comes from this wonderful mystery here in John 17.
Amen.
That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. Some translation left out the word one in us. Because that oneness comes from this mutual dwelling. Right. Let's go to John 14. Yeah, let's verse 20. Okay, verse 20. At that day, meaning to say the day of the Lord's resurrection,
you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you.
Isn't that wonderful? That I am in my Father. So the Lord is in the Father, and we are in the Lord. So where are we? We are also in the Father. And the Father is in Him, and the Lord is in us, so the Father is also, where?
In us.
In us.
Amen.
In us. And then verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive,
because it neither sees Him, nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you, and will be in you.
Then he said, I will not leave you often. I will come to you.
Amen.
So this is really wonderful. In resurrection, the Lord, as the Spirit, comes to us.
Amen.
Then he said, verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, oh, verse 21. Let's read verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them,
it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
This is really wonderful. Manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, verse 23,
If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
Or make our abode in Him. That means the Lord and the Father will come and dwell within us.
Amen.
And it is by this mutual dwelling that we all can become one. There's no other way. There's no other way. This is an organic way. This is the heavenly way. This is God's way. This is God's way.
Amen.
So today, to understand this oneness, it depends on the way you live. If the Lord dwells in you, but you don't listen to Him, you don't obey Him, you don't do what is well-pleasing to Him, you still go your own way and do your own thing, we'll never be one. If I, as a Christian, do not listen to the Lord who dwells in me, and I always oppose Him and do the things I like, not the things He likes, then of course I cannot be one with you. You'll be doing the things He likes, but I do the things I like, so how can we be one? It's not possible. Or you do the things you like, and I do the things I like, it's also not possible to be one. But if you are doing the things He likes, and I'm doing the things He likes in me, well-pleasing to Him, it is very natural for us to be one. Right? Because we are both in Him and He in us. and he manifests himself to you and to me, and we both do our labors. That will automatically make us one.
Amen.
This is why Paul said in Galatians chapter 2:20, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Only if you live like that, and I live like that, and you live like that, then we all can be one. That's why this oneness is hard. That's why it's not possible, because I live myself and you live yourself. And if that's the case, then it's not possible. It's really not possible. So this is a mystery. That's why the Lord has to go through this kind of a salvation work, going through death to terminate our old man, and in resurrection becoming the life-giving spirit, coming into us and bringing us into him, that will produce a kind of life that can build up the church. If you and I don't see this, it's not possible. We can have an organization, but it will last until I'm tired of it. Then that's it. Well, after a while, I'm bored with it, and that's it. That's the end of it. That's why your friends are looking for another place, because they finally decided it doesn't give them anything anymore. But if we live such a life of a mingling with him, Christ being our life, and we learn to, as the Lord, live such a life that is well-pleasing to the Father, then this oneness will grow. This oneness will grow. And the more we live the Lord, the more we become one in the church. But if we don't learn to live that and to deny yourself and our flesh, if I don't learn to say it's no longer I that live, but Christ in me, if I don't learn that, no possibility. It'll be hard. Yeah. If it's always I and not the Lord, then I'm not even one with him. How can I be one with you? Not possible. If I'm not one with the Father, I always do the opposite of what he wants. Then how can I be one with the saints and brothers and sisters in the church life? That's not a possibility. That's why this oneness is a mystery. And not so many people have really touched the reality of his oneness. And this is also the reason why it is hard. Because it's not a doctrine, it's a life. It's a life. So when the Lord came to this earth, his whole life was a life of being in the Father. And the Father. What else can the Lord say?
Yeah.
What else can the Lord say? That's why we need to be terminated. He is the terminator. To terminate me. Right? So that it can be my life. Paul says, my old man has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Amen.
It's a really wonderful experience that we grow into it. once you see this and you begin to have a taste of this, then it is very easy for you to be one. Because once I see this, what the Lord wants, I put myself aside. He says, Amen, Lord. So for this kind of oneness, even the Lord has to pay the price. You think the Lord is not capable as a man on this earth? He is very capable. He definitely is capable. But he says the Son can do nothing of himself. Why did he say that? Because after man fell, after Adam fell, man became independent of God. Because now he knows everything. You know, all the children, they like to say, I know. When the parents tell them, I know. Well, they may know, but they don't do it.
Right.
That's the problem. I know, okay, you know, but you don't do it. How many times do you have to tell the children? Right? How many times, Sarah, do you have to say, do you tell your parents, I know. It's not a matter of knowing, but we become independent of God. After man fell, we rejected God, we live our own life. So the Lord, when he came to this earth, he rejected that independent life and live a life that is fully dependent. But if you want to do that, you have to put yourself aside. It is no longer I, Paul said. He said, for example, in Corinthians, Paul said, I worked more than any of the other apostles. But it is not I, but the grace of God that is in me.
Amen.
Yeah. And he said, for me, if you want to gain more of Christ, to know more of Christ, and to live Him. He said, I don't want to be found in my own righteousness, but in the righteousness that comes by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of God. If all of us would live such a life, don't you think we'll all be one? Oh, yes, we should all be one. That is why in this new man, Paul said, no more Jews, no more Gentiles, no more African, no more American, Chinese, no more Japanese, no more Thai, but we are all one in Christ.
Amen.
And this is where baptism comes in also. In Galatians, let us read Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, at the very end. Galatians chapter 26, beginning in 26.
For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus.
This is a mystery here. This is a mystery. No more Jews, no more Greek, no more slave, nor free. All the differences will be gone. Why? Because when we're baptized into Christ. And particularly Romans 6 says, into his death. That's why his death becomes our death. And that's how our old man is terminated. And then on top of that, baptism puts you into Christ. It's not a formality. Paul says you are baptized into Christ, and we put on Christ. So when I put on Christ, you put on Christ, everyone put on Christ. So what happened? How many are we now?
One.
We're one. Now, this is not a formality. This is a reality.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh,
so, to touch this reality, you need to be in the Spirit. If you're not in the Spirit, if you and I are living in the flesh, there's no reality of that. But if you live by the Spirit, and I live by the Spirit, and touch the reality of this wonderful baptism, then there's no more difference.
Hmm.
All the differences are gone.
Amen. Yeah.
And it says here, we are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And this one does not mean unity. This one means the Roman numeral one. it's one. One man, one new man, we are one body, we are one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Really a wonderful mystery.
Amen.
Oh Lord, may the Lord open our eyes to see this.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's good. Oh Lord.
Amen.
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 Oh Lord, bring us all into this oneness.
Amen.
Bring us into this organic oneness.
Amen.
Oh Lord, as you are in the Father and the Father is in you,
amen.
We also want to be in you.
Amen.
Obedient to you.
Amen.
Oh Lord, no Amen. Longer I that live, but Christ.
Amen.
Pray that this would be our reality, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
No longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, that we can be one with you and one with the Father.
Amen.
In you and in the Father.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pray for this mutual life, Lord.
Amen.
Deny ourselves, Lord.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Lord, in everything we want to be well pleasing to you.
Amen.
To do those things that is according to your will.
Amen.
Amen. Help us
Amen.
By your Holy Spirit to live such a life.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes, Lord, that we would trust in you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
It's your voice, Lord, that's telling us to do the right thing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I really enjoyed seeing this matter of this oneness is a matter of an organic oneness. It's when it says here, "And the Father are in me, and I in you." I meant the Lord was restricted to obeying what the Father has, and then at the same time, the Father accomplishes everything through the Lord.
Amen.
That kind of oneness is the oneness that we need to experience. I realize, you know, the point that John brought up is, you know, if we are here, quote, one, for any other reason, eventually we will get tired of being together,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, I was just, if you look back on this week, okay, yeah, we have the campus meeting, we're meeting there together as oneness because we go to UCI. Or is it something else? Or, you know, we go running in the morning on Wednesday. We're running in oneness. Is that our oneness? And actually, if you start really considering the church life, why are we together meeting as the church today? Is it because Timo and I are interested in, you know, these things, devices, programming? Or maybe because Freddie and I like to play basketball? Or there are so many things that, if we are not careful, that could become the replacement for our oneness and why we would be here. And this is why I really enjoyed the word tonight. This matter of the oneness is that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And if we learn to live by the Spirit, and we obey the Spirit, not just blindly obey, I mean, it was good that we had the verses in John 14 regarding the matter of the word. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So it's not just that we're, okay, in the Spirit. Now we live in the Spirit, but there has to be the Word. Without the Word, without the speaking of the Lord, then there's no foundation. There's no solidness regarding what the Spirit is saying. And so it all comes together. This is why we're always encouraging one another. We need to eat the Lord, to eat His Word, that His Word would be put into our heart, that it would change us and work in us, and that we have to be obedient to Him. This is why we need to deny our soul life. Otherwise, eventually, then, if it's anything else, then 5 years, 10 years, you know, you're going to graduate in another year from high school. Yeah, and then... Then now we're, you know, we come as the church in Fountain Valley. Well, now you're free to go to another university. You can go anywhere else. And where is the real oneness? This is why I appreciated this matter of the organic oneness here. Mm-hmm. It really has to come from us living by the Spirit, walking with the Lord, being obedient to Him. This is what will bring us together. And we pray that this would be our reality in the church here in Fountain Valley. Mm-hmm. That we could all experience the oneness in this way. Because otherwise it's just, okay, we have some common interests. You know, you're interested in animation, or I'm interested in engineering cars. No, it's not that. But if we all obey the Lord, follow the Lord in such a way, that will, in and of itself, make us one. Amen. And this is what I really enjoyed tonight.
Amen. I really enjoyed that too. Because if I'm not one with the Father, I can't be one with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not one with you, my brother who I can see, how can I be one with the Father that I can't?
Right.
So, I just pray that that we can all experience this oneness every day.
Amen.
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 Amen. If we all have a common interest, then it has to be the interest of the Father.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Amen. All right.
Yeah.
The Lord is very practical in John chapter 14 concerning loving Him. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Because the word is here not for us to study, it's for us to keep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy. Everybody loves to study the word, but nobody likes to keep it.
Mm.
That's the problem. We study, we interpret, we discuss, talk about it, close the Bible, nobody keeps it. That means you don't do it. That's why James is so practical. He says, don't be just hearer of the word, but doers. And if we love the Lord Jesus, then we need to take his word seriously and do it.
Amen.
Walk according to his word, obey his word.
Yeah.
The German word for obedience is Gehorsam. It has something to do with your hearing. The same root word. So that means if you hear, you should obey.
Right.
Not just hearing and not obeying. So the root word of obeying is hearing. That's why in the Old Testament days, if you're a slave and you're free to go, the time comes, you're free to go. But in Leviticus it says, if the slave preferred to stay with his master and said, I will not go, I love my children and my wife, we're going to stay with the master. Then the master would take him to the doorpost and pierce his ears right there. Oh, why his ears? Because for a slave, the most important thing is to listen. Yes. To listen. What it means is, you listen, not just to hear, but to do what you have heard.
Right.
And so it is. The Lord has given us such a wonderful word, the Bible. And remember what the Lord Jesus said, he quoted to the Old Testament. Man shall not live by bread alone, right, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
So the word of God is for us to live. And that's where the Lord will manifest himself.
Amen.
So you have the Spirit, you have the Word, and you have the Lord manifesting himself to us. And you have his indwelling in us. And we were brought into him.
Amen.
In this wonderful oneness.
Yeah.
After all these years, I can really testify, just to see the oneness as a doctrine, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because in the past 40 years, I have seen too much division among people who talks about the oneness. I've seen that. So I've been asking the Lord, Lord, what's happening?
Yeah.
Finally, I realize it's not understanding the doctrine of oneness. It is this wonderful reality, this organic oneness.
Yeah.
It is how you live and how I live in this oneness with him. He in me and I in him. And we in the Father and the Father in us. This mutual abode, mutual dwelling place. It reminds me of Moses when he prayed in Psalm 90. He says, God, you have been our dwelling place from generation to generation. You know, it's very strange because Moses was known as one who built the tabernacle for God's dwelling place. But in Psalm 90 he prayed, Lord, you have been our dwelling place from generation to generation. I don't know how he got that revelation.
Right.
That God is his dwelling place. Let's read that verse. It's really amazing. It's really wonderful. Psalm 90. Verse 1. And it says there in this psalm, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord,
you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
How about that? So where are you dwelling? Where are you dwelling?
Lord in the Lord.
That's right. What's your address? It's a mystery that Moses really saw this. He could pray like that. Lord, you have been our dwelling place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's a man of God. A faithful man of God. So, for him to really see this revelation, Lord, you have been our dwelling place.
Amen.
Amen.
That means he has learned the secret to live in him. Mm-hmm. How many times in the New Testament you read in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't just be a slogan.
Right.
You know, we like to end the letter, writing a letter, at the end it says, in Christ, and you sign the letter. But that's just in the letter. What about in reality? Are you doing things in Christ Jesus, in a conscious way?
Yeah.
Now, family relationship, is it in Christ Jesus? Or is it in just in the flesh? I do what I like to do. I make my own decision. Right. Even husband and wife, it's wonderful if the relationship is in Christ Jesus. There'll be peace and joy and harmony. Otherwise there'll be arguments and difference of opinion and so many different. So to consciously live a life that is in Christ. Lord, I'm going to do this in Christ. It is much better.
Amen.
So Moses' prayer was, Lord, you have been our dwelling place from all generations. Wonderful.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
If we all dwell in Him, it's no problem.
Right.
Right. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Even for Achim, right? Achim is not in Michigan, he is in Christ. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.